This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly link to turfgrass information, brought to you in partnership between Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program and the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name's Frank Rossi. I'm the Turf Extension Specialist here at Cornell University, and the following is the podcast for June 15, 2015, Volume 16, Issue 11. The rain and warm temperature continues to increase soil moisture and soil warming in areas that receive rainfall. The widespread rains expected this week, combined with the warming temps for many away from the coast, will drive our typical late spring, early summer pest issues. Reports are now surfacing in diagnostic labs concerning the occasional root pythium, summer patch, and concern for nematodes on putting surfaces. At the same time, many areas that have been dry and now finally getting some moisture are reporting lawns damaged from mowing during drought. Dandelion and broadleaf planting in traffic sports fields and crabgrass and Poa trivialis emerging everywhere. While it is not an ideal time for broadleaf weed control applications, many have begun to utilize the new HPPD bleaching herbicides for post-emergence grass control, crabgrass, Poa triv, Poa annua, creeping bentgrass. Note the inset picture of the bleaching characteristics of the HPPD products, Tenacity and Pilex. In fact, homeowners have access to Tenacity in a Scott starter formulation. It is wise to discuss the bleaching effect of these products with your clients and field course users, as it can be alarming to some. Also, use of surfactants with these HPPD herbicides will likely intensify the effect. Pilex also has activity on weedy Bermuda grass, goosegrass, and Japanese stiltgrass. Tenacity and Pilex will suppress, but not completely control, oxalis, dandelion, and ground ivy. Finally, a critical difference between the two products is that Pilox cannot be applied post-emergence until 28 days after seeding of newly established turf. The only restriction for Tenacity after seeding is on fine fescue. A second straight cooler than normal week, with most were 2 to 6 degrees above below normal. We remain about 7 to 10 days ahead of last year and ahead of normal by 7 days. Soils have cooled some, with highs in the mid-70s and lows in the upper 60s. Welcome rains continued across the western section of the region. ET was 0.75 inches to 1 inch to the north and a half to 3 quarters of an inch to the south, and drought stress continues to subside in western sections. New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island are still very depleted in soil moisture, and the drought map indicates many are still unusually dry in the northeast. And the forecast for the coming week, another wet start to the week with showers moving through Monday, Tuesday, followed by clearing and warming. Evening temps and dew points above normal with some steamy weather ahead. The 8 to 14 day outlook calling for warm and normal precip. Foliar disease risk is high for much of the week. And a couple of regional clips, dandelion and plantain, are emerging as problem weeds and compacted traffic sports turf on schools in New York. Chinch bug has made its first appearance with nuisance clover mites, causing consternation in Westchester County. Tenacity used on sports turf for Poa trivialis control in western New York. The activity was obvious immediately and control looks good. Turf samples from Rutgers University Diagnostic Lab are down 25% for 2015. Typical late spring issues are beginning to emerge. And we've got a part two to the urgent stop sale for some Fossetil aluminum products, Alt 70 and Viceroy. On June 5th, United Turf Alliance voluntarily stopped sale of ArmorTech Alt 70 TM fungicide due to reports of compromised turf on turfgrass in the Northeast. In addition, United Phosphorus Inc. has also stopped sale of Viceroy 70 DF. Both products contain 70% aluminum tris 0-ethyl phosphonate and are manufactured by Tersinderlo Curly. It is recommended at this time to avoid applications of either product until further information is available. UTA is currently conducting studies with multiple universities in the New England region to determine the possible cause. Further information on the stop sale of Viceroy UPI from UPI is just beginning to emerge and can be found at a website, bit.ly/1JFEDBD. And please note also the active ingredient Chipco Signature TM fungicide is 80% aluminum tris. To date, Compromised turf has not been reported with Chipco's signature. Bayer has released the following statement about Chipco's signature that can be found at bit.ly/1BYIMUX. And now for questions. My sports fields are done with use for the spring and will rest this summer. What should I do now? Now that much of the scholastic sports seasons are winding down, a good review of the field is useful. How did the high traffic spots hold up? Do I have the right turf for droughty conditions? What should I do with worn out weedy areas? All of these and many more are excellent questions. Furthermore, this late spring, early summer period is less than ideal for reestablishing, renovating, reinvigorating your high traffic sports fields. However, if use is expected again this fall, then now is the time. Generally, a good hollow tine coring would be useful, but could bring up many unwanted grassy weeds at this time. However, we need a seed bed to reestablish new grass from seed. Again, this raises the question of sodding. If worn areas such as goal mouths or down the center of fields are low and bare, then adding soil and sodding would be an ideal option. Just like seed, you will need water available to irrigate the newly sodded areas. Still, to avoid issues with bringing up weed seed, hollow tie coring or knifing the soil to cause some shattering deeper will aid in temporary alleviation of compaction. Ideally, there are many tools that allow for shattering of soil when it is on the dry side that are also not very disruptive nor likely to lead to weed issues. In the end, without chemical pesticides available for school grounds, you have to be creative. Avoid creating problems and consider solid tine cultivation, leveling worn areas, and sodding. And finally, our last question. My clover's in flower and I need to apply my grub control for the season. Should I worry about harming pollinators? The short answer is yes. You should be very careful when making applications of insecticides to flowering plants of any kind. Professor Pat Vinham reminds us this week again, remember that the neonicotinoids, imidacloprid, clothianidin, thiamethoxam, all should be applied when the adults are laying eggs. Normally, it takes about a week after a beetle emerges before it's ready to mate and lay eggs, so your ideal timing will be coming soon. Do not apply to surfaces where bees are foraging, white clover in bloom, for example. Be very careful on surfaces near flowering ornamental plants that are attractive to bees because the product is systemic, may be taken into the flowering plants. Remember that granular formulations generally are less directly toxic to pollinators than sprayable formulations. Water the application in. Watering also greatly reduces exposure to pollinators. And thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership between Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program and the New York State Turfgrass Association. I'm Frank Rossi here at Cornell University in the College of Agriculture and Life Science and the School of Integrative Plant Science, and I hope you have a wonderful week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.